New survey of UW-Madison students shed some light on their feelings about a variety of issues related to free speech. The survey, done by the university's Tommy Thompson Center on Leadership, asked 530 undergraduates to respond to a list of statements about how the government and public universities should handle different types of speech, including hateful remarks, biased media reports, climate change denial, and more. The center calls the results troubling and is recommending that the university do more to educate incoming students about the First Amendment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a current or recent college student, how do you feel about the free speech climate on your campus? Do you feel like some ideas aren't welcome, or does the balance feel okay? If you're an educator, have you noticed free speech issues coming up in your classroom? And how do you teach about free speech? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Ryan Owens is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, what were you looking to find out when you started this survey?
Well, you know, I think the more I have taught, the more I have heard students say things to me like, well, I hesitate to say this because, or, you know, maybe after class, they'll say something to me like, well, I really wanted to make this point, but I knew that my colleagues wouldn't approve of it, or maybe they didn't like it and I didn't want to offend anybody. And I've just been hearing more and more of this. So I wanted to reach out and see, you know, what the climate is like on campus. I mean, what do students think about their ability to say things? You know, what are they thinking about as they think about what kind of speech is protected and not protected? And more specifically, I'm just curious about their views on general free speech principles, their degree of tolerance for ideas that they may disagree with, and frankly, you know, with which, you know, we may all disagree with and find, you know, detestable and certainly contested. And, you know, as I say in the report, the results, I think, are troubling. We have nearly 40% of students believe that the government should restrict the speech of climate change deniers. Over 50% of students believe that the government should restrict the speech of racially insensitive people. 63% believe the government should punish hate speech. Now, to be clear, some of these topics are a little bit broader and people could use their subjective judgment or what we meant by it. But in some respects, that's kind of the point as well. And I think taken together, these results are telling. They suggest that there is a degree of acceptance for restrictions on speech. And again, you know, this may be speech that's detestable, but I think we've all for centuries now believed that, you know, protecting speech in the long run is the thing that we want to do.
And one of your concerns is whether students understand First Amendment protections and whether a government not just should, but can restrict certain kinds of speech. What are your thoughts on what your students do, what the students, not just your students, what the students right. surveyed know and don't know?
Well, you know, again, for my money, it's more important to think about, you know, what they're thinking about these general principles, right? How acceptant are they of government telling them what to say and what not to say? And it seems like they're becoming more tolerant of that. So, you know, I think it's a function of, you know, we know that when students are sort of taught about First Amendment principles, about how the First Amendment has been interpreted in this country over time, they become a little bit more cognizant of the importance of free speech. They understand that, you know, while they think they may have the right argument today, people, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago also thought they had the right argument when they tried to quell the speech of others. And it gives them some perspective. You know, if you think about this historically, over time, it has been the case that those with power have been the ones that want to silence those who are in the minority. You know, you can see this across the board, but particularly here, I mean, you look at the abolitionist era, there were considerable attempts to silence abolitionists, you know, and this is the kind of thing I think that we have to be cautious about is to say, we've got to look at the long-term benefits of a free marketplace of ideas. We can fight like heck over the ideas that today we find reprehensible. And there are many, many ideas out there today that are reprehensible that we should object to. But that's a separate question about whether we want to give the keys to the vehicle, to the government, to tell us what to think and say.
Talking to Ryan Owens, professor of political science at UW-Madison, director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership, talking about a survey from the Center of UW-Madison undergraduates and issues of free speech or hate speech. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reactions, and your questions. 800-642-1234. I want to look at, I think this is the first question in the survey on hate speech. I'm going to quote it. Bear with me. Quoting, some people have argued that there is something called hate speech. They define it as abusive or threatening speech or writing that expresses prejudice against a particular group, especially on the basis of race, religion, or sexual orientation. End quote. Then you go on to ask about government being able to punish hate speech. I don't want to get inside the head of the students here, but the word threatening is part of that. And there are points where threatening speech does cross the line into something the government might take action on. Do you think that there might be cues in here that make people think, no, I'm not worried about, you know, speech about lowering the capital gains tax. I'm worried about hate speech that's threatening individuals or groups.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a legitimate point. But I guess a couple of things on that. The first is, I think when most students hear hate speech, I mean, they know what we're talking about here, right? And so I'm not particularly alarmed by that. You know, if we give them a list of, you know, 5, 6, 7 things, and one of them is something that is protected, you know, sure, that might explain some of their answers. But then when you go on to the next question and you ask them whether the government should be able to restrict the speech of racially insensitive people, that's about as clear as it gets. And there you've got over 50% of students believing that the government should do that. There's no wiggle room there, I think. Racially insensitive people, you know, yeah, they ought not to be saying what they're saying, to be sure. There's no question about that. But I think, you know, if there is any ambiguity in that first question, I think it's basically removed on the second question. And we get some results that are still a majority of students. So I think taken together, these results do suggest what we say they do.
Another issue you get into the survey has to do with speakers on campuses, whether they should be disinvited because they're people where their views will offend people. What kind of things did you find?
Well, there we found that there were, you know, approximately 35% or so of students believe that public institutions should be able to revoke invitations to speakers who might offend someone with their speech. Now, you know, to be clear, the law on invitations and disinvitations at the university level is not altogether a slam dunk on this. But again, the question is more or less about the general views of that. You know, do you think that you should, you know, revoke an invitation simply because someone might be offensive to another person? You know, and that, again, that suggests that a substantial minority of students are okay with, you know, yanking that platform for people under those conditions.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Willem is with us in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I was just thinking about, you know, this. I'm old enough to remember the Fairness Doctrine when that was required when people used the public airways. So I'm concerned, I guess, not so much just on campus, but in general, that opposing views can sometimes just be outright lies meant to incite violence or insurrection in the case of what just happened in our capital. I listen to these stations once in a while just to get an alternative view, just to hear what they're saying. And what they're saying is they're sort of encouraging people to take on the government with all these lies about conspiracy theories and the government, you know, Joe Biden is going to raise your taxes. He's going to take your jobs. He's going to trash the environment. We're
Willem,
not going to be a great
I'll
country.
Jump in. I think we get the gist. Ryan, Willem concerned if there are, say, in this case, media outlets fomenting violence, fomenting insurrection. Does that end up going, I guess, beyond their First Amendment protections?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the court and First Amendment law is already pretty clear that incitement to violence is not protected speech. And that's certainly not anything that we're addressing in this matter at all. But, you know, I do think that Willem makes a good point. And it's something that I've been telling people over the last couple of weeks is that, look, there is an increasing amount of intolerance creeping into our culture, into our society, into our politics, just across the board. And it's not a good thing. And I think as we look across the spectrum as we look out at politics today, the more we find that people are cabined off into their own informational silos. And sometimes it's that people are intolerant of others. Sometimes it's that they don't even know what other people are thinking and saying because they're not exposed to it. That's a real problem. And I do think that, a good, solid understanding of the First Amendment, exposure to ideas with which you disagree, is healthy. It can help improve our politics to the degree that people can cross-pollinate with others. You know, it used to happen all the time in things like churches and trade groups and block parties. And the more siloed off we get, the less exposed we are to other people. And it becomes very, very easy to become intolerant of their views at that point.
Talking to Ryan Owens, professor of political science at UW-Madison, director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership there. He's talking with us about the center's new survey on how UW students feel about protecting or restricting different types of speech. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about a lack of tolerance on campuses, maybe here in Wisconsin, when it comes to different political points of view? Have you experienced this yourself, maybe as a student or faculty member? Do you have questions for our guest about his survey? And coming up, we'll get into some suggestions that he's looking for to change things and to promote free speech on campus. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Ryan Owens, political science professor and director of UW-Madison's Tommy Thompson Center on Leadership, looking at their new survey on free speech issues on the UW campus. Still time for you to join in with your thoughts and questions. Do you worry about political intolerance on college campuses, maybe elsewhere? Have you experienced it yourself? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ryan, in your report, going along with the survey, you have some thoughts on how UW-Madison and presumably other campuses could help promote free speech and respect for free speech. What kind of things would you look for?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you used the word help there, because that's the one thing that I really want to underscore with this. The purpose of this report really was to help us figure out, is there a problem? And if so, what can we do about it? The whole motivation behind this was to be helpful and to see what we can do to help our democracy move forward and be better civilians to one another, better civic engagers, so to speak. So what we concluded with at the end was not some, one or two absolutely necessary fixes that we think the university needs to make. Rather, we indicated there are a couple of things they might want to do. One possibility would be to require students to take a class on the First Amendment before they graduate. They do already require a number of courses to graduate, general education courses. This could be among those particular courses. Alternatively, we could see the university potentially offering more training to incoming students as their freshmen during their SOAR informational session. That could be something useful. And look, I mean, the university already does some of this. Students who are coming in are required to take a class on sexual harassment and assault, a class on alcohol use, drug abuse. They're required to take some training on diversity. It seems to me that this would be something that they could ramp up a little bit at that time, just to prepare them as they come into college to be good stewards, to be good citizens on campus and tolerate other views.
We heard from John from Lake Holly, who says free speech does mean you could say what you want, but it doesn't, John says, give you the right to a venue to speak at, like a college speaker, for example. And yeah, there's not an infinite number of speaker spaces, I guess, at a college campus. Ryan, so the idea of who gets a platform and who doesn't, how would you like to see a university or student groups make those decisions?
Well, that's a very good question. And look, I think there are numerous ways that this could be done. But the underlying point here is the question of the free speech principle itself. How tolerant are you? How open are you to discussing ideas with other people versus being eager to shut them down without having that discussion? It's a difficult thing to do, to be sure. But I do think that if we're here trying to cultivate minds, to expose students to different points of views, to make them grow as citizens and as scholars and as future employees and employers, we want them to have inculcated, virtues in the civic arena that say, look, we can debate, we can discuss, and hopefully the best ideas will come forward. I think that's the general thing that we need to keep our eye on here.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. As an American, I look at this question of rights from a position of responsibility. So freedom of speech is guaranteed by our Constitution, but it matters when it occurs on private property or on public property. Now, what I mean by that, I can stand in the corner of Belknap and Tower in Superior and speak about any topic I want. It's public property. But if I'm on private property, I'm accountable to the person who owns the property. So there's an issue of authority that enters into the picture. But it all comes down to responsibility of the speaker. And I think that's where the real education needs to take place. Thank you.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Ryan, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a part of that is absolutely 100% correct. There are rights and responsibilities. For myself, I certainly don't like it when I see speakers come in and just be, crazy to be crazy, right? Aggressive in order to be aggressive. I don't think that moves the ball forward at all. I certainly don't enjoy seeing speakers come in and really do stupid things on campuses just to rile people up. I don't think that's a good use of the right. But I think what we have to ask ourselves here is, what kind of culture are we cultivating here when, we have students who say, they don't think it's appropriate for someone to engage in debate over climate change, right? That the government should be able to shut them down. Now, people can have different views on this, to be sure, but allowing the government to restrict that speech. And when think about that a little bit more, what does it mean to say that the government can restrict the speech of so-and-so? Does it mean that you have to pay a fine if you say something? Does it mean you have to go to jail for saying something like that? I think once we start digging down into this a little bit more, I think people then perhaps, maybe hopefully, will become more and more uncomfortable with some of those ideas. But again, it's about the long-term game here. It is about protecting us from government overreach, from government coming in, telling us what we can think, what we can do. Because again, we've known that throughout history, that is what people will do when they get in power. They will try to snuff out their opponents in whichever way they can. And so free speech is a protection for us. It is a way for us to be protected against people, factions, if you will, taking over the government and stifling our liberties. Sometimes it sucks, to be sure. I'll be the first one to admit it. But the end game is something that we've got to keep our eye on.
So if I could ask you just on a practical level in your own classrooms, how do you try to facilitate positive discussions where people feel comfortable expressing different points of view? In any case, that can be a challenging thing to pull off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I try to be as open with my students as I can. I tell them, as long as you are, respectful to your colleagues, you're not name calling or things like that, you say what's on your mind. Be collegial, be respectful. You're all adults, act like it. And look, I've been very pleased overall with the openness that I can find in my classroom. I do have students who say that they're uncomfortable saying things and they kind of self-silence as a consequence, but I tell them, don't do that. I mean, don't do that. Say your point. This is college. You're adults. You want to be treated like adults. That's great. I'm happy to do that with you. And then we can discuss it. And that I hope is sufficient to open up that discussion.
Do you, I know that, I think this is the first time you've done this particular survey, but just subjectively from where you're sitting, do you see a trend in a positive or negative direction over the years when it comes to speech on campus?
Well, I can't really speak to that in terms of my survey because this was only just a one-shot deal. There are numbers of other surveys where students have said essentially the same thing that they told me. I think Pew and Knight have done some surveys on this recently, and they have found similar results with a trend that's going, opposite of the free speech principles. Again, that's not something that I found from my data because it was just a one-shot survey.
Sure. And just our last minute, leave us with your thoughts for, I guess, campus administrators, what you're hoping they do with this survey.
Yeah, I guess I would like to see them take a look at this and investigate maybe a little bit further. Perhaps they can do another survey of their own. Perhaps they can work with us. We could work with them or some others to investigate this, to see what's going on, maybe system-wide, and really get our hands dirty and figuring out what is happening here. Because, look, if we want to create an unfettered marketplace of ideas and a place for academic scholarship where ideas win the day, I think we've got to make that foundation strong there. So I'm hopeful that they will take a look at this and investigate it, take it seriously, perhaps change some of the structures that they have with their orientation to get students a little bit more familiar with First Amendment principles, and we can build from there. I'm hopeful, and we'll see what happens.
Ryan, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Owens is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and director of the Tommy Thompson Center on Public Leadership. He talked with us about the center's free speech survey of UW undergraduates and why he's recommending that the university require, among other things, more education for incoming students about the principles of the First Amendment. You can find a link to the survey at WPR.org/Central Time.